You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. Tomorrow night and Sunday, the guest artist with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra is a Russian pianist named Gleb Ivanov. Lonnie Klein and Gleb Ivanov are my guests today, and I'm delighted to welcome you both to KRWG.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
So we're going to start with you, Lonnie, because this is one of those moments in classical music life that can make somebody get a few extra gray hairs.
Extra few gray hairs and some lost hair as well.
You that can't afford to lose any.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, what happened, as you know, Norm Krieger, a very good dear friend, Norman Krieger,
who has performed here twice before,
yes,
with the symphony,
was slated, and he's on our brochure and our website, and contracted to perform this very concerto this weekend. He called me about a month ago, and he's having, you know, some health issues, and just didn't feel like that he was able to really play the Rock 3. And so, you know, basically I was a month out, coming right off a cycle. In fact, I was heading to Silver City for some rent-out concerts up there. And now what do I do? It's Friday afternoon, and strangely enough, a week after that, you know, we had the big flood in New York, the hurricane. So I called some agents that I knew that are very good friends and that I worked with for years. And, of course, oh, no, Lonnie, we're completely booked. And, no, we don't have anybody. Are you kidding? Rock 3 in 3 weeks? Forget it. But I called Bill Capone, who's with AMG, and he's a very good friend. He says, you know what? Not only do I have somebody, but he's Russian. And he can play it. I said, give me his name and number. So I contacted his agency, which is Young Artist Competition, and he was available, and here he is. So it's an all-Russian program with a Russian pianist. There you go.
You better work on your Russian accent, Lonnie. So, Gleb Ivanov, welcome to Las Cruces.
Thanks a lot.
And this is, you know, one of those moments always exciting for an artist to suddenly get a date at the last minute. But with the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto, that is a very difficult work, famously difficult. In fact, I was reading Leon Fleischer, I think, is the one who said, I wish I learned it when I was young and too young to know the meaning of fear. So
yeah.
But here you are performing it. Let's and you're a 2005 winner of the Young Artist Concert competition and series.
Auditions,
okay. And let's talk a little bit first about Rachmaninoff, then we'll talk about your background. So this is a piece that Rachmaninoff wrote for a tour of the United States, actually. And I know then later on when he lived here, he performed it many times. And he was on that tour both as pianist and as a conductor. But it's tell me what it, the when you first studied it and what the challenges from a pianist vantage point are to this work.
Well, it's certainly one of the most difficult pieces ever written for piano, and I can't say it was very difficult for me to learn, because I was listening Horowitz and Rachmaninoff recordings from my early childhood, and they are actually my two favorite performances, Rachmaninoff and Horowitz.
At Horowitz, there was an interesting meeting with them, actually. When Rachmaninoff first heard Horowitz play, he said he has swallowed it whole or something like that.
He preferred, actually, Horowitz to play it after that. Yeah. Typically, his contract read that he would conduct
and play.
Yeah. Well, first time when I performed that, it was in South Bend, Indiana, with the South Bend Symphony. I was scared to death because when you play first-time pieces like that, it's your life is changed afterwards. And it was in the hall capacity of which was 2,600 people, and approximately 2,000 were there.
Wow.
Actually, that's first stage in my life where I felt small, you know, just you're going like in the Coliseum or something. Well, it went, I wouldn't say great, but I think it was not bad for first time. And then I performed that maybe twice after that. About replacing other pianists, it's a funny thing in for me, because for 7 years in U.S., whoever I was replacing, it was always Rachmaninoff Concerto, whether it's second or third or Paganini variations. And it was always exciting because it's a feeling of kind of shock, maybe, and like stress when you have to do something fast or learn something fast. The scariest moment was when I was asked to replace pianist with Waterbury Symphony, and it was 38 hours notice.
Oh my! that's like, you know, Leonard Bernstein stepping in at the last minute. And,
well, 3 weeks is a lifetime. Then.
That's right. So what you said, to perform something like that for the first time, it changes your life. How?
Well, you feel that I play this. In this case, I can play anything else, because the level of difficulty of this concerto, the level of orchestration, the level of phrasing up there, those beautiful melodies, and this is a very long piece. This is like 40 minutes piece. This is symphony. So by all the standards, this is one of the most difficult pieces ever, and actually for orchestra also. Mm-hmm. That's not easy at all. Mm-hmm. So life has changed because you feel you can do anything after that.
All right, so 3 weeks ago, you get this phone call, and you agree to this date. You've played the piece, but maybe you hadn't played it in quite a while. So when you open that music again, how do you approach it? Do you run through the whole thing? Do you go to the passages that you think maybe you better work on the most?
The most important, I just take some parts of movements, and I practice them. Of course, I leave the easiest to the last moment, but that's usual work. Well, I love this concerto, and I wouldn't say it was very difficult to put it together, but to go on stage after 2-3 weeks, that's pretty challenging. Even the rehearsal yesterday for me, that was depressing, because if you practice several months and then you go on the stage, you feel one way. When you practice 2-3 weeks and you go on the stage, that's totally different.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm happy we have 2 rehearsals and then the concerts, and we don't have rehearsal at the day of the concert. That's the best thing we have here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And why is that?
Well, 2 stresses in one day, that's too much. When you rehearse in the morning and when you play in the evening, that's... for me, when I play the concert or 2-in-a-row concerts, 2 days, I don't touch piano next day, because I'm done. Psychologically, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally.
Yeah. You need to have... You know, there's a beautiful quote by John Adams, the second mm-hmm. president of the United States of America, about everybody needs, like a violin bow, to unwind mm-hmm. and let the hair relax a little bit in between.
That's exactly the same.
The high tension. So that reminds me of that.
Right, and he mentioned the orchestration, the technical difficulties of the orchestra, but also just from my perspective as a conductor, it's very difficult to accompany. There's so much going on, so thickly orchestrated. And you know, it's interesting, he writes such beautiful melodies and such great harmonies, but he was a pianist, and some of the string writing is not really indigenous, or it doesn't lie well for the string instrument. So it's a challenge, just getting the right bowings, and as I said, it's a pianist writing for an orchestra, and sometimes that gift is easy, like a Korsakov or a Tchaikovsky, but in this case, it's almost like he's writing for piano, and it's much easier to do on a piano sometimes than it is on a violin. So that's another challenge.
That's actually the problem with all Russian pianist composers.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and actually, one of the greatest challenges here also, that I think for the orchestra must stop thinking about its part as an accompaniment, because that in this case it's not an accompaniment at all, it's an ensemble.
Yeah,
they
work
together. It's almost a symphony.
It's almost a symphony, and it's a very intense dialogue between the two. So this was quite a tradition in Russia of pianist composers, going quite far back, and then well into the 20th century. Rachmaninoff, Prokofiev, and do you have aspirations to be a pianist composer? You don't hear it as much anymore. But.
I tried composing and failed miserably, unfortunately.
Okay, so you'll just stay as the performer.
Yeah.
That's enough. Let me ask you both a question. What makes Russian music Russian? This is an all-Russian program, and we know that we can hear French music and know it's mm-hmm. French music, and you can hear Russian music and know it's Russian, and I'm just curious your thoughts about what it...
Well, I think if we will compare Russian music to other cultures, I think the closest one is German music. I mean, the first professional Russian composer is Mikhail Glinka, and he studied in Germany, and actually he gave us the beginning of the whole Russian music history.
Yeah, he did, but he also wanted to infuse it with some national feeling that made it Russian.
Absolutely, and I think Russian music is always full of images of nature, especially in Rachmaninoff's music. I think Tchaikovsky, it's more about humans' feelings and emotions, and Rachmaninoff has all of that, but also, you know, you hear his symphonies, you hear his concertos, and you imagine it right away, the fields, the forests, the Russian rivers, and Russian air, even just complete set of those qualities, you know.
And he was very attached to Russia and very sorry when he left, actually, and came here to live,
I think that the whole lineage of between Glinka and Korsakov and Mussorgsky and Balakiev and then, of course, Tchaikovsky and then Prokofiev, Shostakovich, it's like when we hear American music. Why is it, why do we know, when you hear Copland, you know it's Copland or Bernstein. I think the orchestration, I think it's passed down. They're great orchestrators. They have they know how to write color, and certainly the folk tunes, folk melodies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And of course, they know how to write for strings, and everything works. And they have this sense of drama. I mean, when we end with Capriccio Italian, it doesn't sound Italian, even though he got the folk melodies from Rome when he visited Rome. That's why we have Capriccio Italian. But it's really Capriccio a la Russia.
yeah, with the,
even
with
the tarantella doesn't sound Italian, it sounds Russian,
with
the ending.
Those are the two other pieces on the program. We've been talking about Rachmaninoff, but Lani is the two Tchaikovsky shorter symphonic works, but really wonderful, Romeo and Juliet, Fantasy, and Capriccio Italian, which Tchaikovsky wrote while visiting.
Right, they both wrote them in 1812. And, you know, so he's had that sense of drama that year, 1812 Overture, and of course, and then we've got the Capriccio Italian.
And the Romeo and Juliet, just the gorgeous.
And, you know, it's really not an overture. It's a tone poem.
It is a tone poem.
It's it's not an overture. It's 20 minutes, and it really does tell the story.
Yeah.
And there's so much drama. And I listen to that jum dugadum bum 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 ba-dum. You can just see the Capulets and the Montesquieu's battling, and then you hear dum bum bum bum. That's just the swords coming at each other. So he really does have a sense, and of course that beautiful melody, the love theme.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's an all-Russian program this weekend, tomorrow night at 7:30, Sunday at 3, the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, and Lani Klein will be conducting, and Gleb Ivanov will be the piano soloist. Gleb, you started playing, I was reading, when you were quite young, accompanying your father, who's a singer.
Yeah, who was a singer. He passed away, unfortunately, already. I played with him a lot when I was a kid.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that was your introduction to music. And
well, that was a very important experience. I've been playing piano since I was 4, but I think I started playing with him like maybe 8, 10, something like that. Like sometimes accompany him. The concerts were later, but I started practicing sometimes at home, accompanying him when I was very young. Yeah.
And I also read that you play clarinet?
Yes, I was studying 8 years clarinet. I graduated from school in Moscow. Yeah.
Do you ever pick up the clarinet anymore?
Well, the reason I started studying was that I was afraid that I'll be drafted in the military. So, and I thought if I study clarinet, I'll just go to military band and play there. But thank God I didn't go to the military. Uh-huh. I escaped in time.
So, Lani, both of you, lapsed clarinetists.
Yes. I'm afraid if I picked it up, I wouldn't want to hear myself again. So it's one of those things, you know, the embouchure goes. And you really have to practice every day.
And keep those reeds soaking and whatnot. Gleb Ivanov, tell us just a very short anecdote. We only have a minute left of your studying with Rostropovich.
Well, I wasn't studying with him. I was a member of his foundation for 2 years.
Okay.
That was enormous experience, just to be with him. I practiced with him maybe only twice or three times, maybe half an hour each time. And I played with him only once. It was the final movement of Prokofiev Third Concerto, with Nizhny Novgorod Symphony, and I think that's an experience of your life, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That person, that level of musicianship, that was incredible.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Gleb Ivanov, he's performing tomorrow night the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto in D minor, and Lonnie Klein conducting. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Leora.